Hey everybody, welcome back to the Comic-Con podcast. It is episode 35, recording this on 9/9/2021. I am one of your hosts of the evening, Justin, aka Nemesis Prime. Make sure you're listening to us on any of those podcast platforms out there. And it's a rainy day here in New Jersey. I don't know what's going on out in Texas, but at least I got my boy Zach with me. What's going on, man?
What's up, man? It's weather's pretty nice here. Weather usually is. It's a little warm for, I guess, early September, but I'm still liking it. Still get some pool weather in, and yeah, man, things are pretty good out here.
You just hit a nerve. Speaking of pools, so I had a tornado here last week. Okay. And then over the weekend, I cleaned it. So I completely cleaned it out because there was tons of leaves and stuff like that. And literally yesterday, my pool pump just decided to just die, the condenser. Yikes. So the motor is shot. Like, I can't, you know, move the water or anything. And I was going to plan on actually closing the pool this weekend. So now I had to go ahead and literally just take out all the water. I had to winterize it without even like circulating all the chemicals. I was literally outside with a shovel. It looked like I was canoeing in the pool with a shovel.
It was stirring it up like a up a big pot of stew.
Exactly what I was doing. So I covered the pool today. Really sad that now that, you know, that basically, you know, that's when like summer's over. If you own a pool, you know what that's like. When you close up your pool, you're like, that's it. It's done. Deal with it next year. So, and the worst is I literally went out yesterday and spent like $300+ on a brand new filter or pump too, but I didn't even need it because I was like, screw it, I'm not even going to attempt to put it together and fix everything. So,
well, not in Texas, we don't winterize our pools here. So
yeah, well, you don't even, I just probably don't even have those products there.
I just keep it, I keep it going, and then if I want to get in like a little bit later, then I heat it up a little bit. So wintertime pool swimming.
All right, I'll be over next weekend. Anyway, so we got a little fun-packed show this evening. Not too much on the news for comics and TV and movies, but a little flip side. We got some video game talk. We're going to talk about the What If series. We're going to dive into that. I know Zach has a nice little article, and you know, we're going to kind of start off with some complaining. So you know, we'll run through little complaints right now. Both grading companies are taking absolutely forever, and everybody knows that between CGC and CBCS. I don't know about you, Zach, but I have this is the first time I've ever submitted magazines.
Okay.
I submitted 9 magazines. They were received on 4/26. So April 26th of this year. They have been sitting there forever in that received, scheduled for grading status for the past couple months.
This is with CGC.
This is with CGC.
Okay.
They finally decided to move to this new what's the status called, grading encapsulation and imaging, which I've never seen. And that's been since last Tuesday. So figure Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I get it. They're off for the holidays. So Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, we're at like 7, 8 days and it still has not moved to QA or it even shipped. I'm just like losing my mind over magazines. I'll never send in my Penthouse magazines ever again to CGC.
Wait, is that what you sent?
No. I sent in Star Wars Insiders.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Wow. Cool. Talk about dorky. You could have been super cool and said Penthouse and you said, I'm our Star Wars Insiders.
Well, that's why I said that. they're taking forever because the grading is so bad because they have to peel apart the pages from the
gross. I've never shipped a magazine in. I think I've shipped in like the magazine format stuff before, which I guess is probably the same thing. Like I think a long time ago I shipped in a the first New Mutants Marvel graphic novel, which is like a magazine size, right?
Yeah.
And even some of those
Captain Britain.
Yeah, and the Batman Damned stuff came back or was like classified as magazine as well.
Yeah, so. Last Ronin, that's another magazine type. But these are actually magazines.
So. Right. But those were all back before CGC took a massive shit like all over everyone's chest. And like, just like, I mean, dude, it's a nightmare. Honestly, you know, you and I have talked, we both sell on like Instagram, eBay, whatnot. And I have a stack of books that I was like, okay, cool, I'm going to send them in. And CGC was taking so long. So I was like, I'll try CBCS. And then I was like, you know what, dude, like, what's even the point? Like, I'm not going to get them back in time. They're kind of like some spec raw books, you know, that like people are hunting right now. And I think it's just better to keep them raw. Like I actually have no plans right now to send anything graded until this cleans up a little bit. So,
yeah, it's definitely, we kind of talked about this over the phone a couple days ago. It's just like, you know, let's say a book like Ghost Rider 28, you know, that Midnight right. Suns book. It's like you can get good money now because, and it keeps going up. The book keeps going up in price. It's like, well, do you send it in and wait another 6 months and then get it back and sell it? Or at that point, could the book come back down and not be worth what it's worth, what people are buying in 9/8 right now? Like,
well, yeah, your Shang-Chi second appearance, right?
Yes.
You were hoping to have that back.
Yeah. So that's, now we're going to get to CBCS. So this was back in like, I don't know, May, I guess, late April, early May. It was the same thing. So CBCS is just another issue. So I had two copies of Special Marvel Edition 16. I was just like, there's no way I'm sending this to CGC because I won't get them back until 2022.
Right.
So I was like, you know what? Let me try CBCS. I haven't used them in quite a long time for some books. So sent them in. They were received on May the 13th, and they have been in processing for literally most of August into September. And I've been calling them every week for the past 3 weeks, and they keep telling me, oh, it's done. It just, the first week they had issues with, they didn't have enough supplies. Well, it's like, well, how come you guys have enough supplies? Because I know a couple people have been getting tons of CBCF stuff back all the time, selling on whatnot and doing YouTube right. videos. So I don't know what's wrong with that. Then they're like, oh, well, you know, it's based on the tier and it's at 19 weeks. And I'm like, yes, I understand that 19 weeks for the tier, for that specific tier. But this was back in like May. Like the weeks probably was only at like 12. Now they're like, oh, it's at 19. And I'm like, all right, whatever.
Yeah. They give you like the current. Yeah. What was the tier weeks, or what was the weeks for that tier back then when it's sent in? Like, yeah, that's bullshit.
So then they get a call yesterday on the 8th and saying, you know, I got some woman. She's like, oh, it's still in process. I'm like, yeah, but it's like, in my head, I'm like, I really wanted these books back for Shang-Chi's movie so I could literally dump both of these books, whether it be right at the time of the movie or right in a whatnot sale. And I just, unfortunately, I'm still waiting. And I don't know. Am I going to have to wait another probably 2 weeks? I probably won't get these back for at least two to three weeks now. I don't even know anymore.
You might have to wait till Shang-Chi 2 comes out. to get the best sales price on those books.
Yeah, man, I'm just gonna unload. I mean, I'm sure they're gonna fetch me good money, you know, what I paid right. for them, and then whatever the grading is, you know, I'll get good money. I don't expect them to be like in the nines, but you know, it was worth it to grade. I'm sure hard to judge those. Like, it was 1974 was the year it came out, and I wasn't right. gonna like get screwed and be like, well, it's a fine plus or a VF plus, and it comes back in like a 5. Like, I'm like, ooh, that would have been shit. So yeah. I sent in some books, and right now I'm just kind of waiting. I'm like, did my credit card not go through? Like, cause I'm pretty sure I saw this back in like May. Right. So that's my issues with the two grading companies right now. I mean, even though I'm still sending in books to CGC, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
It is what it is. Let's kind of move on to some awesome news that just dropped today. We had the Sony showcase, if you want to call it, for their video games. Now, we're obviously not a video game podcast, but they did drop a bunch of video games based on comic books. We're going to kind of go through all of them, but I know Zach's got a nice little article. He's going to talk about one real quick.
Oh, you want me to start? Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, I was cruising through. I'm really excited to actually hear which other ones you're going to talk about, but obviously, like Justin said, the Sony Interactive Entertainment dropped the trailer for the long-awaited remake of Star Wars: Knights of the Old Republic. Oh, and man, did you watch the trailer?
Yes, and I did not think that's what it was going to be. Actually, I did think, I knew that was what it was going to be, but yes, it was.
Okay, so I had read the article before I watched the trailer, so there was no like surprise for me. But
okay,
the trailer is you got a woman speaking. She's talking about the Sith. Promise power. We face the greatest Sith in generations, and you see this like image walking through the shadows, and then lights up like a red lightsaber. Then brings it close to his face, and lo and behold, it's our boy Darth Revan. So, cool. You don't see any gameplay or anything like that, mm-hmm. but the trailer does end with a message that says Star Wars: Knights of the Old Republic remake is a legend remade for PS5. So. It's not a new game. It's going to be a remake. They've been talking about this for a while. Obviously, everyone clamors for Knights of the Old Republic. It's one of the, for whatever reason, I don't want to say for whatever reason, because I know why. So I'm a big believer and lover of this game as well. It is still a highly loved and played game. People keep playing it. I download it almost all the time when I switch over to new
phones.
Well, no, like, now. Oh, I don't play on phone, but when I switch from like Xbox to PS5 or whatever, like I'll download it and keep playing. So cool that they're going to redo it with PS5 graphics. Because here's the thing, like I've played this game a lot in the past like 2 years, and it's glitchy as a motherfucker, dude. Like this one and number two, the Sith Lords, they're so glitchy. And yeah, the graphics blow, and like some of the stuff really sucks, but it's still so much fun. And I can't even imagine how cool it'll be with like a remake. And honestly, I hope they keep it the same. Don't really change too much because the story's great. One thing, and let me see, get your opinion on this. I kind of would like less characters because I never know. There's so many characters, right? And I always convince myself like, oh, this time I'm going to play with one of the droids. And I never end up doing that shit. You know what I mean? Really? I never really do. And like, you get like the HK is pretty cool.
HK is my favorite. I always go with HK because
just
his demeanor, like the way he's just like a vulgar. He reminds me of the way BT and Triple Zero are world BT because he talks is like in the Dr. Aphra series. Like,
yeah. And I never really played. I guess for the other thing is too, it's also hard in my opinion to pick like a guy who's like a dude with a blaster when you have an opportunity to have three dudes with lightsabers. You know what I mean? So it's like, oh, do I really want this knockoff Mandalorian asshole like sitting around, you know, with double blasters and some shit? So it'd be cool if they limited the characters so I don't have to struggle with those decisions.
Yeah, I always play the characters with the vibro blades. Like that's literally every character. It's always the vibro blades, and then I'll take the HK and just use a long range with him. But yeah, there's the Mandalorian guy. There's Kando. There's the Wookiee. There's the Twi'lek.
The
exile. I guess that's the replayability because then you interact with these characters. You don't need to pick them up to be on your team. And the greatest thing about that is the dialogue, because obviously when they're in your party, they say different things, and certain things happen when they're not in your party.
Right.
So that's what made that game so great.
It'd be cool if they did it like Final Fantasy VII, where you didn't have a choice. Like you had to, like the remake for FF7, where you have to play as certain characters in certain parts. Maybe that would be better. I mean, like, so, oh, you have to play as this character in this spot. So anyway, cool. Super excited about this. No release date on this at all yet.
No, nothing whatsoever. But other than that, and like I said, there's tons of other video games that dropped within this Sony showcase, but we're only going to go through the characters and comics ones that are, you know, based on comic books. So the most recent, and they've shown this trailer before, and the most recent game that's actually going to be coming out literally in a month is the Guardians of the Galaxy game. And that comes out on October 26th of this year, which is actually my anniversary.
Oh,
and it's really interesting. You know, you get to play all five characters are on screen at the same time, but it looks like you pretty much get to play as Peter Quill. And then you kind of use the directional pad to do like special moves as the different other characters. But in this trailer is more of a story trailer, and it opens up a lot of what's going on. So you see Cosmo the dog, you actually see the world mind, you actually see the Nova Corps, which is really cool. So, you know, the game looks really good. Of course, it's done by the same people that have done, I can't think of the naming. That's not Insomniac, but they the game looks really bright, looks a lot of fun, a lot of action-packed stuff. So I wasn't really too thrilled about it, but after seeing this trailer, I'm excited to play this one. You think you're going to give it a try on the PS5?
I haven't seen this one. What's the gameplay like?
It's like a third person like shooter.
Okay.
You play as Peter Quill, so you got the guns. You have like some abilities. It looks like he can like throw different things and like, you know, kind of like how he uses in Avengers Infinity War against Thanos.
Yeah.
Like he's got different gadgets. So I think it's kind of like a platformer like that. And then you again, like I said, you have like Groot and Gamora and Rocket and Drax on screen. They're kind of fighting. But they're not really controlled by you unless you use like their abilities, I guess.
Gotcha.
Which I would love for you to be actually just switch between the characters, but yeah.
I mean, I'll probably play it. Like, I like all these games. I definitely would check them out.
Yeah. So that's one of the games, which we knew about, but the other games that got announced, which is really awesome. So we have an announcement trailer for Wolverine.
Ooh.
So, yeah. So it was only a teaser trailer. It's going to be done by Insomniac, who did the Spider-Man series. The trailer is a brief 1 minute. All it really shows is a bar scene. All these guys are beat up. And of course, there's some guy sitting at the bar trying to just have a drink. And some guy tries to come up behind them. And all you see is the claws come out of this guy's hands. So, and then it just says Marvel's Wolverine. So another great game, only teaser announcement, no release date, no gameplay, but I think with what Insomniac has done with the Spider-Man series, Wolverine could be pretty badass, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think I've gone on record saying I wasn't a massive fan of the Spider-Man game. I like the open world aspect of the, you know, very much is a la Arkham series, which is great. But I hated chasing down fucking pigeons and shit in New York City. Shit irritated me up to no end. So
I'm sure they're not going to see that in a Wolverine game. I think we're going to get a more action packed game, like straight to the point. No, even I don't even think open world.
Oh, that'd be so awesome. I love the idea of like the Wolverine game on so many levels, because especially if you open world it, because like, let's say, of course, the best scenario would be to have some X-Men show up. But even if you chose not to, you could do so much. I mean, you could do Madripoor, you can do Japan, you can do Canada. You can have him moving around a lot, interacting with, you know, just Wolverine's kind of like a group of characters, you know, his like the Sabretooths and Cyber and Lady Deathstrike and stuff like that. It'd be awesome to have X-Men, but just even a Wolverine by itself, that sounds pretty awesome to me.
Yeah, even if it's just like a platform type of game where, yeah, you go to the different areas, like you said, and obviously all the enemies are different and it builds up to a boss. You know, it builds up to a boss. So maybe it'll be a little open worldish, kind of like a la Spider-Man, but I don't think open world like, hey, here's New York, because I don't think that's
right.
The type of game a Wolverine it needs to be grounded. Like, yeah. I'm sure you're not running up walls. I'm sure it's just going to be a hack and slash type game. You're going to get abilities that you can unlock, and you're going to fight people that you know. Maybe you'll run into some X-Men, who the hell knows, or just characters in his universe. So I'm excited for this, you know, whenever it does come out. And then last but not least, because of course we're talking Insomniac, they did reveal Spider-Man 2. So in the trailer, we have this ominous person talking in the background. And what's really interesting, when this trailer starts off, it's kind of on like a street corner, and I saw this lightning bolt. Uh-huh. This guy hits like a lightning bolt. And first thing I thought was that old PS PlayStation game. Oh, it's going to elude me right now. The guy had like abilities like that, where he had electricity. I can't think of the name of the game now. That's going to bother me. But it ends up being Spider-Man and Miles. They're both fighting. You see a little bit of gameplay. So you see this awesome, you know, back and forth between the two. I don't know if you'll be able to play with both of them on screen at the same time, but you know, you see some interesting moves from both Miles. You see a cool Spider-Man, kind of like a Civil War type suit with the different, the prongs, like the four prongs that come out. And then this, again, like this ominous voice kind of talks over. And then all of a sudden you see him looking down into this corridor, like this, or down this alley. And then last thing you see is the voice change. And it says, "We are," and it's Venom.
Ooh.
Oh, it's badass. Yeah.
So is this supposed to be, okay, so the Miles game, I never played the Miles game. So the Miles game is a sequel pretty much kind of to the Spider-Man game, right? And so does this follow? Is this kind of like the third in this trilogy? Because you played Miles, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. So you'd figure it was Spider-Man was on the PS4, and then you had the Miles Morales game. So
right.
Now you have this.
When you played Miles, does the story, I mean, is there any like throwbacks to Miles' role in the first Spider-Man game?
Say again?
Is the continuity the same? The continuity there the same?
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah, I'm sure it's that same world that picks up after the Miles Morales game, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, I was saying like in Miles, is it playing off what happened to Miles in Spider-Man 1? Like, does it reference that? Do you know that that's like is like a sequel?
I really don't.
No?
Yeah, you really don't know anything, because it's really just the gameplay. It's really then just, like I said, this ominous voice that's speaking. And then all of a sudden he kind of says, you know, "We are ready," and in a different voice. And you see the face of Venom. So the only thing we know is it's coming out in 2023. So we have a good year and a half to figure out new villains and abilities and everything else that's going to happen. But I think it's going to be good.
There's one more game. I don't know if you're going to mention this because it's not comic book related, but I saw, which I'm really excited for, This is actually one of the first games I played when I bought a PS4 was the God of War. Yes. And they got God of War Ragnarok coming out, mm-hmm. which, man, I loved God of War. I thought that was awesome. So much fun. Really, really loved it. First game I platinum trophied on the PlayStation 4. And I loved that game. I had so much fun playing that. So I'm pretty excited about this. And it's honestly wasn't too long ago. Well, I guess it was a pretty long time ago. I played it late. So I guess it's been a while. But did you like God of War? Are you excited for the reboot?
Oh, yeah. I played it on the PS4. I just never finished it. So then when it came on the PS5, like collection,
yeah,
part of the collection. And then when they did the high resolution 4K graphics, I ended up re-downloading it and playing it. And it was gorgeous on the PS5. Like, it was a completely different, to me, it feels like a completely different game anytime they do that. So I'm excited. Yeah. Cause you in the trailer, obviously Thor's there. They do speak of Odin. And then if, you know, I really don't want to spoil it anybody for the first one, but there's another character who they're trying to figure out,
right.
You know, his world, I don't want to say world building, but his storyline.
So. Correct. Yeah. Yeah.
But it looks good. It definitely looks good. A lot of great games coming out of this Sony showcase. I was surprised with everything that is there. So, you know, Sony's got some good stuff coming out. I know Microsoft's going to do theirs at some point, and then Nintendo also. I think Nintendo just had theirs, if I'm not mistaken. But whatever. We really just wanted to talk about the video games that are based on comic books because that's what's fun and interesting. I could go all night and talk about
video games in general. Yeah,
video game, all the video games that were on that thing, on that show. So, but nobody cares because it's not we're not showing people what it looks like. So just be excited for these games when they come out on the PS5, and some of them probably will come out on the Xbox. But Insomniac games are only going to be on PS5 because that's what Spider-Man has always been. So,
yeah, cool.
Speaking of Spider-Man, this was actually a great segue. Okay. So this just ended today on September 9th. So the first Spider-Man comic, Amazing Fantasy number 15 in a CGC 9.6.
That's insane.
For $3.6 million at Heritage Auctions, which just sold today. Unreal.
That's crazy, dude.
The fact that you have a book from 1963, I believe is the date. So to still keep it prestige. Yeah, or 1962. August of 1962 is what's actually on the label. So 9.6. No trimmed. Nope. Oh, my God. For 9.6.
I'm trying to look this up also. So, and here's another number to keep in mind. CGC didn't start grading comics till early 2000. So that means that book had to survive at that 9.6, like you said, till early 2000s. And that's even assuming that right then and there, like, oh, we opened up. Let's get this graded. That person got it graded like the first batch. That's crazy, bro.
Yeah.
And especially because those books are like notorious for the Marvel chipping and whatnot, you know? So.
And back then there was no bags and boards, like, you know, not like we have today, not Mylar. So
I know. Yeah. Like, where was it sitting? In a shoebox? You 100% it was in a fucking shoebox because that's what everyone put their comics back in the day.
Yeah. And so, they go on to tell you in this article that's on the Hollywood Reporter that the previous most expensive copy of Amazing Fantasy 15 was a CGC 9.4 that sold last year in March of 2020 before everybody started buying up all these books. So a 9.4 only sold for $795,000.
Wow.
So for one grade bump up, it just quadrupled in price.
Well, that dude with the 9.4 is probably super happy. Because he's like, oh, hell yeah, my book's like a couple million dollar book now for sure.
Well, no, that's what the last CGC one that was sold at Heritage was an Amazing Fantasy 15, 9.4.
Right. Right. No, I'm saying, but now that guy's 9.4 is worth more. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. Okay.
So his 9.4 just skyrocketed in price because of that 9.6. So
yeah, now I would just throw that back up, right? I'd throw that up at Heritage Auctions.
Yeah, and then hell yeah.
I would just buy like a lower grade one. Like if I had a high end book like that, I would just sell the book and then buy like a lower grade. Like what's...
That's very true. Like if you really just needed to have that book, I mean, like what's the point? If you really think about it, obviously there's the collectors in you who are like, no, I want to have the best one. But like you don't have the best one. You already know that. There's a guy with a 9.6. So yeah, why not sell it? Maybe buy like a good presenting copy of like an 02 or something like that and then roll that money into anything, bro.
Anything, yeah. I mean, Heritage. So Heritage goes on. They also, in the article, it says Heritage previous comic book record was actually set last January when the only known Batman number one graded at a CGC 9.4 sold for $2.2 million. That book shattered the previous 1.5 record back in November of 2020. A sale that was involving, actually, and previous to that was in November, was a sale involving a copy of 1939's Detective Comics number 27 at the time. That was the highest price ever realized for any Batman comic. So the fact, even that, like, I'm a huge Batman fan. I would love a Batman 1. I'd love a Tech 27. But hell, if I had a seat, and that's, and you figure Batman number 1 was in the 40s. To have that in a CGC 9.4.
Yeah, wow.
Like, that's a forever, forever clean book. And again, like, $2.2 million, yo, I would sell that 9.4. And like you said, I'd buy like a 2 or a 3. Like,
something that presents well. Book. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm sure it's nowhere. It's probably, what, a couple hundred thousand for maybe like a 2? I don't even know what they're going for, but I'll take that.
Yeah.
Don't matter. So
that's crazy.
That's kind of a... our fun little articles for today for some Spider-Man stuff and some video game stuff, but we're kind of going to get into some spoiler stuff here. So if anybody hasn't checked out, we actually just dropped a bonus content earlier in the week for our Shang-Chi movie review. So if you have seen the movie and you want to know what our thoughts are, go out and check that out. It was a little bonus content. We had our man TiVo from Lords of Longbox on here. He was dropping tons of knowledge of the actors and actresses and all the behind the scenes and some really in-depth stuff that Zach and I would have never brought to the table. So
right, he has that knowledge on like the Asian cinema and like the martial arts movie. He's big into all the martial arts stuff, so he knows like the stunt guys, the different like stunt departments. I guess that's probably not even the right word, but like crews that do choreography crews and whatnot, dance crews, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So
other than that, we're going to get into the What If series. So, you know, we're up to episode 5. They just dropped the latest episode on Wednesday, of course. And that's actually something that I always forget to watch until later in the day. But I remember that TiVo was talking about it in our group chat, saying, dude, that episode 5 was amazing. So we'll kind of go episode. You want to go episode to episode, or you kind of want to pick your best two? And I'm sure you and I may even have the best two. So
we could go episode to episode and just like kind of briefly touch on them.
All right. So I guess let's go. We'll go right through 1 to 5. So episode 1, we have, of course, starts off with, and again, this is all spoilers. So if you don't have Disney Plus, which I'm sure everybody out there has Disney Plus and is watching these shows, or if you're waiting for the season to end and binge it, I don't know why, but we'll get right into it. So episode 1 is basically, instead of Steve Rogers being Captain America, we have Peggy Carter, and she becomes the Captain Carter, right?
Right.
So I think, just from finally, you know, we've seen the trailers of all these, you know, the studio that was going to create all these shows. This is finally the first time that I can appreciate and say that Marvel did a great job with their animation, because for the most part over the past, 10 years, you've had all these DC animated movies have come out and they've just been killing it with the storylines.
Yeah.
Now you finally have Marvel to come in, and Marvel did here and there. They did some movies, like they did the Hulk. They did a Spider-Man 1, but they weren't really that good as far as both storyline and animation. But this new animated style is pretty freaking awesome, I'd say so myself. What do you think about the Captain Carter?
I liked it. It was cool. It was a good first episode. It was pretty straightforward. I love how like the beginning of every episode has the same thing with the Watcher and you know, his little spiel he gives it. It's very a la like Outer Limits, or you know, Are You Afraid of the Dark, if you're like kind of young like or old like us, maybe. Like,
yeah,
every episode starts the same and launches into this like random story. It was a good one. I thought it was fun. I liked how, you know, Steve found his role as well, you know, as kind of like the Iron Man in that universe. And you even had like Bucky and Dum Dum Dugan. And I thought it was really cool how at the end, you know, it was like she shows up and then boom, it's like the start of the Avengers movie. But instead of, you know, instead of Captain America, it's Captain Carter. And so like she meets Nick Fury and Clint Barton. I thought that was awesome. So,
And we'll kind of get into a recurring character or creature that kind of shows up more than once in the series. So The second episode, which was another, to me, I felt like the first episode was extremely well done, right?
Yeah.
And then I feel like the second episode, to me, kind of out of the five episodes, was kind of like a down. It's what if T'Challa becomes Star-Lord? Now, of course, we all know Peter Quill. He's, of course, on Earth, and he's the one who gets picked up by Yondu and the Ravengers and becomes the one and only Star-Lord, and then the whole Guardians of the Galaxy. But this has T'Challa basically searching for, a way to explore, and Yondu ends up picking him up, and he becomes this character of Star-Lord. My opinion of the episode, I think there was just too much going on. Again, like with you had, Thanos and Nebula, and there's too many changes for me. That was my issue with this episode, was there's too many changes going on, too much, too many characters in a way. Like, I get it that they wanted to try to include all the Guardians, but I don't know. I just really wasn't feeling this episode. What about you?
Yeah, I'm with you. It's definitely my least favorite of the five. Mainly because, I mean, all the reasons you said for sure. But I think, like, for me, the core of it is that I've always felt like the what if storylines were like, it's almost like, you take a right turn or a left turn. You know, it's something minor and then it changes. This what if was just like, I felt like it was completely different. Like, what if Captain Carter got in, or what if Peggy Carter got in the machine instead of Steve? That's pretty, like, believable. Yeah. But like, what if random T'Challa got picked up? Like, I mean, that honestly could be any character. Like, that what if doesn't make sense to me. Like, you could say, what if Ben Grimm got picked up by Yondu? You know what I mean? It could be any goddamn character. Yeah. There was no reason why it ended up being Wakanda, So, yeah. And then just like, honestly, how it all played out, then like you said, the big changes from like Thanos is now part of the Ravagers. Like, I guess if there's one character that's going to like totally change the cosmic universe, maybe it's T'Challa. I don't know.
Collector, he was kind of like the kingpin of the galaxy. And
super like buff too. Yeah. What was up with that? Like, what was up with, apparently in this what if universe, this dude like is like crushing protein shakes and just like hitting the gym on the reg. Like, this dude was like wrecking fools. I remember what the Collector looked like. Like, Benicio del Toro is not like a physical specimen, bro. So, I don't know about that one.
My also issue with this one is, and what's great about these series is you get a lot of the actors and actresses are recurring roles. Like, right. They're the original actors and actresses who played the characters who are now voicing these characters. And I'm a big Benicio del Toro fan, but he sounded terrible as the Collector.
Yeah. I wasn't sure if it was him for a little while. Like, yeah, I knew I saw his name in the credits, but then I was like, damn, it doesn't really sound like him.
Yeah. It was like completely different than his take on when he was in Guardians. Like, yeah. And a lot of the characters, the moment they speak, like, oh, Thanos, that's Josh Brolin. You're like Peggy Carter. That's, what's her name? Amelia. Can't think of her name. Obviously T'Challa is Chadwick Boseman, but like everybody, like you knew
Haley Atwell.
Oh, Haley Atwell. Yeah. But yeah, I was not feeling the Collector. And that's another reason why I just really wasn't feeling this episode. So
the best part about that episode, I will say, was that it was very kind of like, and I think they, if I remember correctly, correct me if I'm wrong, they did. It was very touching because it's like, oh shit, you got Chadwick Boseman. This is the first time we've seen Chadwick Boseman in this role since, his passing. And I think they did. They do a little like shout out to him at the end or something as well. Yep. So that was very touching. It was honestly, It was hard at first. I was like, oh man, like you hear his voice, and like throughout the episode, I kind of was just thinking like, damn, this is so sad. You know what I mean? So it was touching in a way.
Yeah. So. No, you're right on that. Moving on to episode number three. And this one was definitely a very interesting episode. It definitely took me by surprise. It's what if the world lost its mightiest heroes? So it's kind of it's just shy of like Avengers 1, right?
Right.
Where Nick Fury is kind of trying to track down all the Avengers. It kind of happens right. It actually starts with like Iron Man 2, right?
Yeah, where he's in a donut shop. Yeah.
And someone or something is killing all of the Avengers before he can kind of create this team. And lo and behold, Loki comes to Earth. and is basically looking for, you know, his killer of his brother, correct?
Right.
So, and I think, again, Tom Hiddleston and all the other actors and actresses, this episode was pure as far as, you know, who's voicing who. I did not see this one coming at all. I did not see this villain or hero slash villain being changed. Hank Pym being Yellow Jacket. Wow. Yeah. That completely turned upside down. I couldn't even guess, like, as I'm watching it, I'm just like, all right, well, it could be this person. And then, like, right, when Hawkeye kills Thor, I'm like, oh, it was Loki, because he was watching him and, like, he made the lightning bolt and him, like, lose his, you know, his arm when he has the bow drawn. I'm like, all right, this is, he's going to lose it, right? But then, like, then Loki comes and I'm like, well, maybe he's just kind of playing this off. And then Hulk dies and you're like, oh, and Hulk's death is, like, crazy, right? The whole exploding.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that was my thought too. The whole time I was like, okay, how are we going to get back to it being Loki? It's obviously Loki. You know what I mean? Like, I thought the what if part was like, what if Loki got the drop on them all before they could get together? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I thought we were going to come out with, like, maybe Loki had seen his future and knew, like, oh shit, I got to take these dudes out, like, from Jump Street. But then, yeah, Hank Pym, damn.
Yeah, he looked battered, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Nuts.
Yeah.
So that was probably my third favorite episode so far of them, just because it has, you know, the original Avengers team, and it definitely was a nice what if. It made you guess, it had its twists, which was interesting. And I feel like this one is kind of believable in a way.
Right.
I feel like you're like you said, it's like the Star-Lord episode was, like, not so believable.
Yeah, it's not too, like, too off a realm of possibility. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
Moving on to episode number 4, which this episode I've watched 3 times so far. So
really?
This is definitely my favorite episode so far. What if Doctor Strange lost his heart instead of his hands? So, man, this episode is probably the darkest thing I think Marvel's done so far.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh,
so
yeah.
We have, of course, he loses his girlfriend, pretty much. What's her name?
Christina Palmer.
Yeah. I was going to say Rachel McAdams.
Yeah. That's who voiced her, though.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Because that's all I see when I see her. So, of course, she dies instead of him, but he still goes into the mystical arts, you know, and becomes a Sorcerer Supreme by, you know, the old one or the ancient one. She ends up dying, still does the Dormammu thing, and he still is a Sorcerer Supreme. But, of course, because he has the Iago Moto, he wants to be able to possibly turn back time. And that's something that he thinks about. He ends up starting to turn back time. And every time he goes and tries to change her death or change it, it keeps leading to her dying. And I'm like, yo, this is crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, that was definitely the best one. It just was also like, because you expect, you know, like you said, it's the darkest thing Marvel's done. So you don't really expect Marvel to do this. They went, like, all in, like, hey, man. It's crazy to think, too, because Marvel's very, you know, careful about the things that they do. And we all know Doctor Strange is more or less going to be the focal point, if not one of the focal points, he's going to be one of the focal points, if not the focal point, moving forward for, like, the foreseeable future in the MCU. So to actually, like, show him, like, kind of break bad and just totally F everything up and wreck the whole universe, like, that was a big move on their part.
Yeah, I just think just constantly showing the deaths was just, like, was crazy. So, you know, again, he ends up trying to, he learns this way of, you know, capturing these creatures' essence and then eventually fighting, you know, a different version of Doctor Strange. And that's something that is revealed throughout the story. But this one actually ends with a complete downer, too.
Right.
Like, it ends in sadness. Like, yes, he saves, he saves her, but at the same time, like, he ends up losing her. And then I feel like it's just him in this, like, void. Like this bubble of void. And this is actually the first
the universe episode. Collapsed. The whole universe got destroyed. Yeah.
And this is the first episode where we see an interaction with the Watcher.
Yes, that's true. That is very true.
Because he says, he's like, oh, he's like, I've read about you. I know you, you know, you're always there. You can change this. And, you know, he even says, he's like, oh, I could change it, but I'm not going to step in.
Right.
And so to go back onto something I said earlier, that creature that is in episode one with the tentacles, he ends up fighting that. That's like the creature that he fights. Did you realize that?
Yes. It was very much like a Cthulhu type character. You know what I mean? Like,
I thought it was like Shuma-Gorath.
Or Shuma-Gorath. Yeah. Same. Yeah.
I thought that was kind of coming. That's really what I was thinking was going to come and kind of make him go bad in this. But so that's like, so far, that's kind of been like a recurring thing. Creature in these episodes has been this tentacle creature. So very interesting. And then last but not least, definitely my second favorite episode, and I'll have to watch it again. I've only watched it once, is the What If Zombies. Do you want to, you want to talk about this one, Zach?
Yeah. So, I mean, like everyone knows back, Marvel did the whole zombies thing, and it was, loved it. People loved it. And it all came out of that, you know, the ultimate Fantastic Four Marvel universe. So we got to see a little bit. People were pretty excited. We knew when we saw What If that we were going to get a zombies episode. And everyone loves zombies. So super cool. And kind of like even the crew you had was like a very different crew. I loved how Bruce Banner came to Earth just like he did in Infinity War. Mm-hmm. And then instead of, well, I'll get to that, but he comes down just like he did, and he gets there looking for help from Thanos and finds out like the help he's looking for, Doc Strange, Wong, and Iron Man are all zombies. And then what's his name? The Black Dwarf and Ebon Maw Maw. Yeah. Yeah, they turn zombies, and it just goes off the rails. But the one thing I was like, what kind of baffled me, and I turned to my wife, we were watching, and I was like, wait, so, well, and I guess I kind of got like surprised at the end, but I was like, so wait, did Thanos just decide, oh shit, zombies, I'm good. I'm not going to come down to that planet now, you know, like, but I liked the crew they had, you know, it was a cool little crew. You had Bruce Banner, Hope Van Dyne, Peter Parker, Bucky Barnes, Okoye, mm-hmm. Sharon Carter, Happy Hogan. And my favorite was that they brought in Kurt from Ant-Man, who actually plays David Dastmalchian, who played Polka Dot Man in Suicide Squad. And I loved that they had him. This is such a random ass character to include, like, out of all the extended casts in the Marvel movies, and you bring this guy. I thought that was awesome.
He did pretty well, because like the trade-off with like how Peter is, like Peter is obviously like a young kid, and
right,
that whole like training video that he did in the episode.
Yeah.
So, and having Kurt there was just, he brings that like quirkiness to this, but
right.
And everybody, every voice was there. And Chadwick Boseman as T'Challa. You had, again, Mark Ruffalo. And then of course at the end you get the Vision. Like, I didn't see the Vision coming.
I think the only actor you were missing was Tom Holland as Peter Parker. He was the only one that wasn't the original voice. Yeah.
Yeah. But everybody else was.
Yeah.
Everyone. Even Sharon Carter. You had Guerrero as Okoye.
Yeah. Yeah.
Paul Rudd.
John Favreau.
You had the chick who plays the Wasp.
So, yeah. Paul Rudd's head in the jar. That shit was hilarious. And then he gets the cape.
That was so, that was so Futurama.
Like, it's so stupid. Yeah. It was funny though. Yeah, it was a good episode,
action,
dude. Yeah.
Great action. That episode had the most action for me. Like, and I cannot wait to rewatch that. Just the Dead Avengers. And that's something that I'm sure you know a lot more on. And I've only read some of the Marvel zombie stuff. Like, I read that newest Resurrection one, but
yeah,
some of those older Marvel zombies were pretty dope. And I really I'm gonna actually go back and read like the trades if I can find them.
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, they had a little bit more like a brain power, I guess, mm-hmm. and could like think a little bit more, you know. But yeah, it was
abilities,
right? Like, it was really fun episode. I remember my wife was like, when Hope Van Dyne like sacrifices herself, and she's like, "Wow, that was really stupid of her not to switch back to small size before she got killed by the zombies." I was like, "Yeah, no shit, dude. Like, now you just gave him like a monstrous giant zombie. Like, what the fuck, dude? That just was not helpful at all."
But it was interesting because I'm thinking, like, all right, so she's still alive. Yeah, exactly. I thought about that too, and I'm like, well, I guess she could still shrink back down, because
hit the button,
somewhat brain function,
right?
And I guess you never really saw the death of Hank Pym. Did you? Like, I don't recall him dying. Like,
oh no, because he went into the zone to find his wife, and then remember he came out of the zone and immediately bit Scott. He was in the ship when it came back.
But that's what I'm saying. Then, like, but you never. So, like, Hank Pym could be a tiny guy around in the world, and he could have bit anybody. That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. He never got killed. Like the alpha, you know, I guess patient zero almost in a way. But great episode. And then, of course, you get the Scarlet Witch at the end as well.
That was pretty scary. Like, I mean, that's like a character like, oh, shit. Like, yeah. Honestly, that made me think like, damn, dude, if you lived in a world of superheroes and shit's going awry with powers, like I'd probably just sacrifice the most powerful dude like straight out the gate. Like I'd be like, and we saw that in like Deceased. Remember when Superman turned into a zombie in the Deceased storyline? It's like, dude, just kill these guys, because if they power up as zombies, yo, we're effed, bro.
Yeah.
So
that's kind of our review for the What If season so far. We'll probably come back after the last couple episodes. I know next week's episode is What If Killmonger Saved Tony Stark. I don't know what's going to happen past that. I guess he won't become Iron Man and he won't be in a cave. So we'll just have to find out next week. And, you know, we'll talk about the last couple episodes once they happen for this first season. And I know Kevin Feige even said in her most recent interview that everything that happens now in Phase 4 will be in future What If shows. So we're understanding that it's being renewed for a Season 2, which we all thought, and we all probably knew that it was going to be renewed for a Season 2 because the show is awesome, right?
Yeah.
So next and last but not least, what are we currently reading? Because of course we are a comic book podcast and people like to know what's to read out there. So kind of going to go first. So it's a weird week. Nothing like super to me was like super exciting, like new and to read, but I two books, of course, something that both Zach and I have talked about on this podcast. Boom Studios Eve wraps up with issue 5. It was a good storytelling. It was a good wrap up. It definitely ends well. And it's a nice way to end a post-apocalyptic world. Like I could totally see this being like a show, either an animated movie or something for kids, because, you know, with Eve and with Wexler and what happens in actually issue 3 and issue 4, which I talked about a couple weeks ago, because I love the series. It does definitely has a nice little wrap up. And actually what just dropped yesterday was Boom Studios actually dropped an exclusive variant for issue 1. It was limited to 250 copies, and I was actually able to grab one on their website
the moment
they went for sale. They went on sale at like 3:00 Eastern time. Literally got one, and then I saw people were trying to sell them for like stupid money on eBay. And I had people messaging me on IG saying, oh, did you get one? I was like, yeah, I was lucky to get one. And I tried to put more than one in the cart, but they were smart enough and like would only have one in your cart at the same time. So that's one of my books. And this is a really good book out of nowhere. And I definitely think this character should stay like this. I actually read the Green Lantern Annual this week.
Okay.
And did you read it? Yes, no?
No, no.
Okay. So I really haven't.
Is it Grant Morrison still writing it?
No, the annual is different. So of course, when they come out with the annuals, it's like always like a different.
Yeah. But he's still writing the ongoing though, right?
Yes. So he has, of course, and I'm actually considering going and reading the Green Lantern series, because I know what they've been doing is a lot of the other Green Lanterns have been coming out with like the Teen Lantern, and then one from Far Sector has come out. But now this one is it's written by someone completely different. I off the top of my head, I can't let me see if I can find it real quick. Oh yeah, it's Ryan Caddy wrote it. Don't really know him. But so what happens is, and I guess this happens in the Green Lantern series, is that Jessica Cruz, of course, is a Green Lantern, and she must somehow, she lost out in space, and she ends up getting a yellow ring, and she's trying to get home, but she's then recruited by, of course, Sinestro. Uh-huh. And the yellow rings are, of course, instead of the willpower like the green is, it's fear. So someone like, if you know the history of Jessica Cruz,
right,
when we were first introduced to her, she was kind of like that character who didn't even want to come out of her apartment. She, you know, was very scared. She had the power ring, which kind of gave her powers because it fed on her fear. She was able to overcome that fear and become a Green Lantern. But the fact that she has a yellow ring is very interesting. And it's a, I think she should actually stay as a Yellow Lantern.
Interesting.
Because, like I said, she's all about fear. So in the issue, it's all about like a trial. She's trying to save some people because she thinks that it's the right thing to do. Hal Jordan ends up coming and they end up having a quick little fight. But at the end of the issue, it's really a trial for her and Sinestro. So because she kind of wants to give the ring back, but she ends up keeping it and says, you know, she's going to stay in this sector or outer space as a Yellow Lantern. So I definitely think it's a book to probably pick up because she could, you know, she could be a Yellow Lantern for a while. And, you know, you never know what you're going to see because there's really no other main Yellow Lantern characters other than Sinestro. So I actually read it on a whim. I thought the cover looked cool. So that's why I picked it up. And, you know, I'm glad I picked up this issue. And now I feel like I need to go back and read this current series because even Hal mentions the other lanterns that are what's happening in this current series, which I know about the other lanterns from reading Young Justice, from reading Far Sector, but I want to know where they're at right now. And I know these characters are, you know, meeting each other for the first time in this series. So great issue. So go out and pick up Green Lantern Annual if you want a first appearance of a character as a different lantern, which sometimes ends up spiking for dumb reasons. Like, remember when Supergirl became a Red Lantern?
Yeah, and Guy Gardner too.
Yeah, same thing. Those books like randomly will heat up because it's like a character becoming a different lantern or a lantern for the first time. So those are my two books for the week. What about you? What did you read that you enjoyed?
So I still haven't finished Batman Catwoman or the newest issue of Nice House on the Lake. So if you've read those and they're awesome, I apologize. I'm planning on getting to them. So they're out of the running. But two books that I actually really was enjoying was this week we got Suicide Squad Annual and we got the Suicide Squad number 7. So I'm going to kind of just group them together because they have a storyline where Superboy is now in the Suicide Squad. But we find out that it's not actually the Superboy we think it is. It's and I didn't know. Maybe you can elaborate on this a little bit. But it's like Bizarro Superboy, and his name's Match. I didn't know that this was actually like a character. And it seems an established character as well. So
because there's like Superboy Prime, there's the Connor Kent version, and then there's the Superboy. Yeah, those are like the only ones that I know of.
Okay. Well, maybe he's not, but they call him Match. His name is Match now. And basically he's a clone, and he's a clone of the original Superboy, and he very much talks like Bizarro, and it's basically Waller is trying to put together her own Justice League, and she's planning on going to, I believe it's Earth 3, the Earth of the crime syndicate, and she wants to basically like kind of take it over. She's like decided, yo, screw this place. Let's go try to save another Earth or try to like take over another Earth and run it. So she's trying to put together her version of the Justice League. They rescued Black Siren from, you know, Black Siren, Black Canary, whatever you want to call her. And she's now part of the team. So they also introduce Ambush Bug in issue number 7. He joins the team, which I thought he was ridiculous because he's basically a like Deadpool, and I hate Deadpool.
Didn't we have him on like Lords of Longbox long-term specialist as a character?
I don't know. He's,
I think we did. I really absurd. Think we did.
Breaking the fourth wall and all that crap. Like, that's not my shit. But it's cool. Like, I've been enjoying Suicide Squad. There's like they play off a story with Rick Flagg as well, kind of going and creating his own he goes to create his own Task Force X that he wants to implement to try to take down Waller. And the first person he goes to is Mirror Master. So super powerful, and invites him in and is like, hey, look, but I'm not putting a bomb in your head. This is, we're going to go take down Waller. Are you in? So, and it's the Scudder version of Mirror Master too. So I thought it was cool. Really enjoyed him, and still got to finish these other two issues, but that's what I got.
Interesting. Good amount of good stuff this week. So, that's pretty much it for us for episode 35 in the books. Just to give everyone a heads up, I will be having a Whatnot sale. If you are listening to this early enough, either on Friday or early enough on Saturday, I am doing a Whatnot sale, Nemesis_Prime, same name on Instagram. That is on my Whatnot. I'm doing it at, I believe, 9 or 10 o'clock Eastern time at night. Slinging tons of slabs. I already have everything listed as buy it nows. Really under cheap prices right now. So, or if you want to hit me up, you could always hit me up on Instagram. I may sell it to you early. But that's what I got going on this weekend. I am also heading out to, there's a two really good things. So when Zach was here, Zach, remember that Wayne comic book show we went to that Sunday?
Yeah. Yeah.
So this weekend, the same promoter is doing it in Clifton, New Jersey. So if anyone's in this area, you can go to Clifton. But at that hotel in Wayne, they're doing like this comic art con.
Okay.
So I'm actually going to check that out because I think it's going to be like a lot of original. No, I think it's like a little original art stuff.
Oh, ooh, that's a dangerous game to get into.
I just want to go because I don't know what to expect. Like,
expect to bankrupt yourself.
Yeah,
well, by an OA.
I mean, hell, if they can bring some cool stuff that I've never seen, because it's so tough sometimes to find like OA like online. But that's what I got going on this weekend. What about you, man?
No plans, man. No plans. Got to just do some stuff around the house. So that's about it.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Again, make sure you follow us both on Whatnot. I know Zach just had a sale. I know his funds are starting to roll in. I did one last weekend, and you know,
got another one coming up soon too.
Awesome. Sometimes. So again, check me out this Saturday on Whatnot. Nemesis_Prime. That's it for everyone here at the Comic-Con podcast. We will see everyone next week. Peace out.
Later, guys.